Work is a collaboration between Engineering Research and Development Center in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and University of California, Riverside. Spectro Incorporated is an in-house contractor for ERTC. Soil colloids, the particles between 10 nanometers and 10 micrometers, consist of different materials: organic carbon, hydrous oxides, phyllosilicate clays. They are present in the soils, and we're postulating they can be facilitating transport of explosives. If you look at the traditional model of the transport in the soil, you have a water phase here, with blue arrows, and you have your contaminant, high explosives in this case. It can be in solution, moving with solution, or can be absorbed in soil particles. But it can also be absorbed in this high surface area, small particles, colloids, which can become potentially mobile. We think that we can be missing significant movement of high explosives because the current methods for evaluating transport of explosives and analysis involve filtering. So all particles larger than 0.45 micrometers are removed. We don't know what might be the pathway mechanisms of this transport, which fraction of the soil will be most active. And the current model does not use facilitated transport as one of the routes. So the technical objective of this study was to define significance of facilitated transport or movement with small particles of high explosives in soils, and secondary, to identify soil components that may be responsible for colloidal transport. And again, current model of explosive movement in soils and also risk prediction that's based on it assumes movement in water only. Our hypothesis is that explosives TNT and RDX can move with a solid that most likely dissolved in small particulate organic matter influence facilitated transport of explosives. And then because at the low electrolyte concentrations we have higher colloidal movement, we also expect that we'll have more facilitated transport. We looked at two explosives, TNT and RDX. First is 2,4,6 trinitrotoluene or nitroaromatic compound. Second one is hexahydra trinitrotriazine, and it's a heterocycle nitrate. We used two soils, Bendale fine sandy loam, and this is sandy soil from Mississippi, and it's an algae soil. And another soil is molly soil, Kathleen from Illinois. And we're very grateful to Heidi Howard for helping us collect some of the soil. We analyzed the soils, we tried to make them as different as possible, and indeed they had different pHs. The organic carbon varied quite a bit, CC, iron content was quite different as well. For these studies, we did a series of saturated soil column experiments, and we used TNT and RDX at 10 milligrams per liter concentrations. We had some radioactively labeled TNT and RDX added, so we could detect concentrations using scintillation counting. We added conservative trace or tritiated water to be able to characterize movement of solution as well. We had two treatments. We have deionized water, and we have 10 micromolar concentration of calcium chloride as background. We did interrupted flux experiments where we looked if there are any kinetic component to the to the processes, and we're currently doing hydrous 1D analysis, so I'm not going to present any of the modeling. This is our setup. We have stainless steel columns. The pump tensiometers to detect water tension in the columns, and we use fraction collector to collect the samples. The flow rate we used was 1.25 milliliters per minute, or about 0.92 centimeters per hour solution flux, and I found out that it's approximately about half of yearly intensity of the rain for northeast, so it's not very high flow. We had to develop a method to detect both movement of colloidal particles and facilitated transport of explosives with them. So to determine movement of the particles, we used two methods, one gravitational and one we used to light absorbance as 300 nanometers. For gravitational studies, we did for the first four volumes, we combined samples we needed as much as possible to be able to determine, to be able to weigh it. And then half of that we filtered through 0.45 micrometer filter. This is what's used in the analysis of explosives. This is method 8330. And then after drying, we weighed the filter. And another one, we added alum to precipitate out colloidal material and then also filtered and weighed the filter. For all the samples, we determined iron content and organic carbon content on those filtered and unfiltered samples. And we also monitored electrical conductivity of the solutions, of outflow solutions. And then I mentioned we did light adsorbents as indirect method to determine concentration of colloids. To characterize movement of the explosives with the particles, we determined concentrations of tritiated water, cypotene RDX, and TNT in the outflow samples, first, second, and filtered samples. And here we later use F filtered to indicate these samples. And we also added alum and filtered, and those were called A alum filtered later. Before we could continue, we had to make sure that whatever treatments we were using is not going to affect our solutions, TNT and RDX solutions themselves. We expect that filtering, of course, will have no effect on the solutions. And if we added alum, we added alum in solution, so we diluted samples slightly. So the ratio of treated and untreated samples is going to be about 0.91. When we looked, we found out that the concentrations were all within the error of our target values. So we're concluding that no, our treatments are not affecting our explosives in solution. These are some of the results on what we found out about movement of the colloidal particles themselves. And you can see here for this colloidal concentrations by gravimetric method, and this is cumulative flow. And we did these only for several flow pore volumes because of it's very labor intensive. So we found out that filtering removed some of the colloidal material, but the concentrations were very small, you can see here. But if we added alum, the concentrations of the material we were seeing moving were up to 400 ppm, which is very high for the colloidal transport. And we saw difference between water treatment and calcium chloride treatment, so indeed we have more colloidal particles moving when we have less salt present, which is what you would expect. This is the alternative method which we used, the adsorbents at 300 nanometers, and we did it for about 18 pore volumes. And we have similar results. The pairs of blue and red dots here are filtered and unfiltered. The filtered adsorbents is just slightly smaller here, but it's not significant. So we have some material that's moving above 0.45 micrometers, but it's fairly small relative to the total colloidal material moving. And if we added alum, you can see here, we decreased considerably the concentration, but we still have some present. And what we think that is organic carbon, because it's been shown before that alum does not remove organic carbon completely from solution. And these are results for organic carbon concentration. We have slight larger error here, but you can see the similar trend. Filtering those two affected concentrations very little. But if we added alum, you can see the concentration drop, but we still have about 20 ppm of dissolved organic matter present in those solutions. We also measured iron content, and it's not shown here, but we had very little there, about 20 to 60 ppb, close to the detection limit that we had, and it was all only in water treatment, so we're not expecting that iron is going to be a big player here. And we monitored electrical conductivity for these samples. These are the ones that had calcium chloride solution added. This had none, and you see the concentration, conductivity and concentration is decreasing with time as we use day water to wash out the salts. And these are the movement of explosives. I'm going to show several graphs. They have a similar setup, so I'll describe this one in more detail so it's clear. First graph here shows tritiate water. It's not explosives, tritiate water, shown here as H. And we have here breakthrough curve, initial these, then we have filtered, and then we have alum added and filtered, adjusted. We adjusted for the fact that we diluted samples slightly when we added alum, so that's why it's called adjusted. we see that they overlap nicely over each other, and if we take a difference between these and this, we find that it all scattered around zero. If these are the numbers actually, so see it's non-significant. If we look here at carbon or RDX, this is Catlin RDX, this is the same experiment, only we're looking at the RDX versus treated water here. You see difference, we have less outflow because we have some adsorption. There we also see some difference here, if you see between these and these, here there's difference, and if we plot it as difference, you can see here that we have about 3.6% of our RDX moving as adsorbed to particles. If we look at the treatment where we have water as background versus calcium chloride, we found that this difference is greater. In effect, we have about 7% moving adsorbed to the particles. If we plot it here as a fraction of what's moving in solution and what's moving on the particles, we see that the fraction of what's moving in solution is decreasing with time, while what's moving with the particles is increasing, particularly here after we stopped inflow in solution. The concentration of RDX in solution is dropping because we don't have any more inflow, but we still are moving some adsorbed from the particles in soil, and so we see this increase in the ratio. This was RDX. Now we're looking at the TNT for the same soil. This is high organic matter mineral soil. Again, we see nothing for the treated water, which is good. It's sort of background. We want to check our methods. We see the TNT where the movement of TNT is much smaller because it absorbs stronger to the soil. But we see some about 0.5% that's moving in calcium fluoride treatment. In the water treatment, we see 1.5% moving. You see here positive difference, and it's about 20% moving as colloidal material. This is another soil, and this is TNT for low organic matter soil. And we see that the difference, the amounts we find are smaller, 0.3% here, about 2% here for the water treatment. But still about 5% of what's moving is moving with colloidal particles. So we established so far that there is significant contribution of colloidal transport to explosive movement, particularly DX. There was a great amount of colloids moving at low electrolyte concentrations, and we also saw less facilitated transport at low electrolyte concentrations. Facilitated transport can account for about 10 to 15% of RDX, about 10 to 20% of TNT moved in mineral soil. And interaction of explosives with mobile organic particles and dissolved organic matter, we think, is the main vehicle for that, because we saw that these mobile colloids are highly enriched in organic matter, more than just clay fraction of the soil. And we're still continuing these experiments. We still need to do RDX in low organic matter soil, and we have organic soil, which we expect will have a lot more of dissolved organic carbon and more of the facilitated transport. And this is Ann. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a question? Maria?
Are all your experiments in saturated
columns? Yes, these are saturated. And we would expect we'll have more movement in saturated conditions.
Good. Anything else? Tice?
I'm just waving at Pete.
Oh, okay. Waving at Pete. Okay, I had a question about how do these results compare with other types of colloid facilitated transport, that, like radionuclides and things?
Well, what we're working here is not what you would expect a primary target for facilitated transport. Most of the studies, like radionuclides, they probably are not going to move on their own at all. Mm-hmm. So the only one you have facilitated transport, these are fairly soluble compounds, and they don't sorb too much to the soil, not like PCB is something that's much more sorbent. So we wanted to scope and see if facilitated transport is affecting these compounds as well. And what we're seeing is that adsorption to these mobile fractions, very fine material, high in organic matter, is much, much greater than for the bulk soils. So you in fact do see facilitated transport.